Keep breathing. Breathe in. Breathe through and breathe up. Up to the highest part of your being. Hearing unity, we affirm that as our Christ mind awakened. The Christ in me is awakened now. Because I know that the Christ is not about a person. It's my highest consciousness. And I am certain that everyone here wants to know that their highest consciousness is awakened now. Awaken every cell, every tissue, every fiber of our being. The Christ in me, or my memory of God, my memory of good, my memory of well-being, health, and harmony. The Christ in me is awake now. Those of you who care to, would you affirm that with me? The Christ in me is awake now. Keep breathing. Breathe in and breathe through. Become fully aware of the memory of God awake. That all that God is awake in every cell, every tissue, every fiber of my being. There's no part of me where God is not, where good is not. Every part of me is alive, alert, joyous, and enthusiastic. We're about to travel into the silence. And I invite you to take the thought. Every part of me is alive, alert, joyous, and enthusiastic. Every part of me, head to toe and toe to head, is alive, alert, joyous, and enthusiastic. Let's take that thought into the silence and be with it. Here we go. Every part of me, every aspect of my being is alive, alert, joyous, and enthusiastic. I remember God. I remember good. I remember health. I remember harmony and well-being. I remember. So knowing this, let's start our journey back here. Back here to this sanctuary, this place called unity. As we come back, let us come back refreshed, renewed, fully aware of the good that has just taken place, so that we may say thank you and amen.
Different light can change the way you look at things. turns to relief. Joy replaces grief. Doubt becomes belief in a different light. When you're alone in your bed, burning thoughts can dance in your head. Something you feel or something you hear in the darkness can scare you. They go bump in the night, suddenly give you a terrible fright. But it's all in your mind, and you're gonna find the world is looking bright in a different light. A different light can change the way you look at things. A different light. Goblins on the stair. You'll see there's nothing there in a different light. So close your eyes and dream sweet dreams and feel the love that's all around you. Nothing scary.
Everybody.
Good morning.
I'm Reverend Sean Wallinger. How about that? It's good to be me. Could I have a little more house light, please? There, it's good to see you. So, redirection. Redirection. In Unity Seminary, when someone is not accepted into a particular class, if they have applied to enter into the ministerial school for that year and they're not accepted, they're not considered rejected. They are considered redirected. For good reason. Sometimes it's just not your class. You belong with a different group in a different year. And if you were accepted into this one, you would miss out on your greatest opportunity and your greatest fellowship. Sometimes you're just not ready. It does happen. If you can see that in a different light, written by David Friedman, he wrote that for a children's TV show many years ago. And so to look at that, say, oh, I am willing to see this differently. I'm uncomfortable, or I have discomfort, as they say. And to begin to look at things like that, then life gets easier and simpler. If I start throwing a fit, if I put up resistance to what has just happened, and rarely does resistance get you accepted into the program that year, and it may put it off for a couple of years. if the resistance is inauthentic. A friend of mine was just in a talent contest here in New York, and she was eliminated before the final 15. She made the first cut, and she was eliminated. And she talked about it at church in Connecticut. And she was looking at it as a rejection, but trying to put a positive spin. And that's when I said, no, you were redirected. That contest is not your contest to participate in any longer. The life redirected you. Who here has ever been redirected by a love interest? Yeah. That's a different light. That just put a whole new spin on it, didn't it? Nobody rejected you. They just told you, I'm not the one. They weren't telling you you weren't the one. They were telling you that they were not the one for you. No matter what words they phrased it in. What they were ultimately telling you is, they were not the one for you. Just as you have done for others. You have let others know that you were not the one for them. And so you didn't want to hold them back from finding their one. It's a much better way to look at life. It's a much better way to look at life. Has anybody ever been redirected in an employment situation? Exactly. So now, see, everybody's on board with redirection now instead of rejection, aren't you? It's nice. Oh, Sean, just drop that word here. Now we're going to town with it. Yes, I've been redirected. Thank you. And I used to work with this guy. He's a little out there. And I was trying to direct a show of his. And he had a song called Redirected. Now, what it was it was about being redirection not accepted into a mental institution. Four of them that felt they could not help him. And I thought that was the funniest thing, and I said, let's make that your opening number. And he went with it. He couldn't remember the rest of the show, but he could do that opening number. Yeah, it was something. And so, but to realize, oh, I'm redirected in life all over the place. I had that happen here at Unity of New York many years ago. I had been ordained as an interfaith minister at that point, and I was a licensed Unity teacher, and I went to Paul, because I just knew that it would be great if he would make me a minister here at Unity of New York. I just knew. I was teaching a class called Getting What You Want. And in that class, I made a chart that said idea. It started with idea, and then under that was plan. Under that was action, and then there was manifestation. Poof, so easy. I'm busy, I'll tell them, I'll get back to them. So, in that idea, the idea was I should be a minister here at Unity of New York. Great idea. The plan was, since Paul was a minister, senior minister at the time, ask him, Paul, would you make me a minister here at Unity of New York? Because you see, underlying that idea was, then I won't have to go apply for a job, I won't have to go run a church, there were so many things I won't have to do. I knew I wouldn't get paid anything by being made a minister. I would get a title and I could pretend that I was more than I was. So, idea, plan, action, I asked Paul. What I didn't realize was in between action and manifestation can be a block. Well, the block was, Paul said no. He said, Sean, I'm happy to have you be a teacher here and do what you do, but I don't need another minister, and I really don't want you as one. And I was like, I was mad. I'm not your trash, and Paul, please know that. Paul, he was so wonderful that he said no. Because I had to go back and look at the idea of minister, and I realized that my plan was too small. To become a minister at Unity of New York was way too small, because I had to do other things. I couldn't just be under Paul's shadow and pretend that I was a minister. So I had to go, okay, too small, what does that mean? And I prayed on it, and I said, okay, what does this mean? Because my secret plan, was that I would put a good talk together, an Edwin Gaines kind of talk, and I was gonna travel everywhere, and I would go in, and we would all laugh together, I would get my check, and I would leave while we all still liked each other. You know, does Edwene ever leave with the people, oh, I don't like her? No, they love her. Everybody loves Edwene. And if you don't, shut up. I like my story better. And so that was the underlying, but I knew I couldn't get there. And then in my prayers, I heard a voice that said, Sean, you have to pastor a church. I said, really? Are you sure? And I heard the voice say, yes. You have to pastor a church. You need that experience under your belt. Now, I listen to that voice that speaks to me. I listen because it never guides me to hurt anyone, never guides me to hurt myself. It only guides me to greater understanding and greater experience. But I did make a condition with that voice. I said, fine, but it has to be commutable because I'm not leaving David to do it. I was very clear on that. I'd have had to have some guidance. Lot of money to leave David to do that. And so I said, yes, I will pastor a church. Show me how. And a few weeks later, Unity Center of Norwalk called the office here and said, we're looking for a licensed Unity teacher to be our minister. And I was in the office and I heard the call. Barbara took it and I thought, oh, there's my job. There's my church. And not everybody else knew that yet, but I knew. As soon as the call came in, I knew. And I was invited, and there were two of us from here who were applying for it. There was a third qualified, but she chose not to apply. But I knew it was mine. It was nothing wrong with him. He's a lovely man, but it wasn't his job. It was mine. Now, I'd never heard of Norwalk, Connecticut at that point. Never heard the word Norwalk, Connecticut, two words. And so... But I went and I said to David, oh, my job came through. He said, what are you talking about? I said, this is the church I'm gonna pastor. And he said, how do you know that? And I said, oh, I just know it. And so I went and I met with the board president then, and he liked me, I liked him. I came home, I said, okay, it's gonna be my job, but they need me to come and give three talks. Because they didn't know yet I was their minister, although the man I met with did. And I went. And I give a talk. David did the music. They didn't have a music director back then. And I think they all liked me, and I went back, as the other gentleman did. We took turns speaking there. And I went back a second time, and one lovely, charming woman I met, when I walked in the door, I said, hi, I'm Sean, I'm speaking today. She said, be nice to me, I'm on the search committee. She doesn't come to that church anymore. She left shortly after I started. So, great again, lovely day. David did the music, come back for the third time. And then they hired me. They knew. And there are little things that you just have to laugh at. I remember after my first talk, I sat down with the board and the search committee, and they had just done this board training and everything. And one of the things that the trainer had them do was their seven goals, world goals. And they're hanging on the wall there. And one woman, the board treasurer, she said, Sean, we've just established our seven world goals. What are yours? And I looked at her, I said, those exact same ones. It was a wonderful coincidence. We've never looked at those things since. But it was my job. Now, I did not know I'd still be pastoring that church 14 years later. Or that I would be back here as a staff minister. How about that? How cerebral is that? I hadn't even been thinking about that until just this second, that I'd be back here as an employee. Oh, you guys paid me millions of dollars. Well, that's where all the money's going, me. And so to begin to look at things and say, okay, so what's going on here in my thinking? If I'm taking things personally, if I'm feeling like I'm under attack, if I'm feeling rejected or thrown away or abandoned, what's going on? Well, it's got to be what I'm telling myself. It's got to be the story that I am telling myself. And several times out of this book, The Holy Spirit's Interpretation of the New Testament, I have read a passage from Luke that talks about we only have two experiences, either willingness or resistance. And the Spirit says, that's it. It may seem like a lot of the other experiences, but that's it, just two, either willingness or resistance. So I'm going to read something out of a different chapter here that has to do with willingness. Oh. It comes from Matthew. No, it doesn't. It comes from Luke, chapter 3. And it says, your willingness is the calling within you. This willingness is within everyone, resting patiently within the heart, waiting for the day it is asked to sing its song. The song it sings is a calling, asking the one who hears its tune to follow it to a new way and a new day. John the Baptist is a symbol of this calling within us. Not yet fully the Christ, it is the voice within a split mind that calls it to return to one mind, which is the Christ. For Christ is free of illusions and released from distractions, singularly focused on the willingness that is the will of God. What distracts you from the singular thought of God? And this, to me, is the very valuable part of this passage. The singular thought of God. That become our priority. The singular thought of God. Not the singular thought of religion, but the singular thought of God. Because with a thought of redirection means I'm always being guided towards my God consciousness rather than my self consciousness. Distractions take many forms. They may seem to be positive or negative distractions. They may seem to be problems you face or pleasures you enjoy. But if they keep your thoughts away from the singular thought of God, they are distractions for you. Do not feel guilty about your distractions, for distractions cause no loss in the will of God. God's will is truth, and so it remains always true. Distractions can have no effect on it. Distractions only distract you from what is true, so that your focus is on distractions, which distract you from the awareness of truth. But then, the awakened willingness within, it comes and it calls you to turn away from distractions. It calls you to return your mind fully to the awareness of truth. For all things, and if you don't know what truth is that which does not change. Truth is that which has no opposite. So, your distractions can serve the purpose of truth. For all things given to your willingness will be used by your willingness to further awaken the call within you. This will continue until your distractions are no more. And you are fully awake to the singular thought of God without distraction of any kind. This is the purpose of John, the call within you that calls you to awaken. Follow the voice. Listen to it. Do not let fear imprison this voice within you. It is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for God. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth. And all mankind will see God's salvation. And so, in your willingness to see, and your willingness to hear, we begin to see past the distraction. And what is the distraction? Rejection, guilt, shame. Sometimes it's an abundant play, abundant sensation. It's my willingness to either go this way or this way. I can be willing in my resistance, or I can be willing in my freedom. We've been offered it for a long time now. We've been offered freedom. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, class after class after class, book after book after book. We've been offered it. And we can say, well, I want my freedom. I really want it. And I say, okay, fine. Would you give up your bondage to have it? Would you give up your lack to live abundantly? Would you give up your misery to be joy-filled? Would you give up the news and what you think about the news? Would you give up or turn over, surrender to a different light about all the news? Would you surrender to a different light about the needs of yourself and this planet? Would you put your past and your parental stuff in a different light? Could it be that our parents came together with us, for those of us who had iffy relationships with those people? Could we put them in a new light, that they were guiding us to this moment? And we couldn't have this moment without that moment. And we can hate that moment, or we can become grateful for that moment and know that we hated it in that moment. But I don't have to drag that hate around with me. I don't have to bring my resentments around with me. I don't have to drag my opinions around with me. My opinions are getting heavier. Oh, my opinions have become such a burden because I fight for them. Anybody? Anybody fighting for their opinions? Positive or negative? Anybody fighting for their opinions? But you see, when we fight for that stuff, it diminishes us. The very thing that we teach and preach in these unity communities is abundance. It is prosperity. It is health and well-being. It is harmony. It is these aspects of living are promised. They were promised to me when I walked in the door. Were they promised to you?
Yes.
When you walked in the door? They were promised to you, but I was also told I had to change my mind about everything else in order to experience them, in order to have them alive and active in my body, in my mind, in my life, in my relationships. I had to do my part. And my part was to rethink the old thoughts. The best way I know to do that, and what I often do, is I say, okay, Spirit, take this thought and bring it back to me in truth. Take this thought and bring it back to me in a way that I can hear it and understand it, but it will set me free. Because the way I'm thinking it right now is limiting me and making me a little hateful. And I don't care for that. It's oh my goodness, to be hateful all the time. Our theme this year amongst Britt and Carlos and myself is forgiveness. And forgiveness isn't going to the person that has harmed me and saying, I forgive you now. That has nothing to do with it. Forgiveness is giving way for a new thought about everything. The stuff I don't like and the stuff I like. Forgiveness is giving way for. Forgiveness is also about not needing the past to be different. The past will become different when I have a new thought about me today. When I have a new thought about you today, and you and you and you. Forgiveness takes place. It's an experience. It's not something I decide to do. It's something I seek to experience in my experience and in my willingness. And so to begin to look at it doesn't make everything okay per se. It doesn't mean we're going to the party together. It doesn't mean we're going to share a cab necessarily. However, if sharing a cab with a being would set me free, then it'd be worth sharing the cab. If going to the party with that being would set me free, then it'd be worth going to the party. I've got a couple of people, so I'm still holding out on. A couple of beings in my life, I'm still wishing it had been different. And I'm holding out, hoping it will become different 12 years ago. I'm hoping that will shift. I pray on it though. And so far, those people have not come to my door to acknowledge how they wronged me. I got a neighbor that I'm just holding out on. And he waves to me when he sees me. And I thought, why are you waving to me? Do you not know what you did? And I said it one Sunday here before. I said, I would wave back, but I'm afraid all my fingers wouldn't be on display. Because I'm still holding out. And what happens is I'm still in hell. When I go home and I see the house across the street, I'm in hell over it. I don't know what's up for him. I know I'm in hell, and I'm trying to pull him in with me. Hey. And so, to begin to look at everything, so that neighbor redirected me. That David, do we like that one? He redirected us. And so that we could do all this work, I need to send him a thank you note. Maybe I will. So, to begin to look at it all, there's a saying that says, why be anything less than everything you can be? Why be anything less than everything you can be? I was taught that when I came into Unity. Why be anything less than everything? And there is no good answer to that. I know where I've held out on it, and I also know where I've expanded beyond my dreams. Since coming into Unity, I have done so many things I never thought were possible. And I'm living a life that I didn't know how I ever could. But my teachers promised me. I came in, Eric Butterworth promised me, Paul Tenaglia promised me, other teachers have promised me, the Fillmores and their books promised me, Emily Cady promised me. I listened to those promises. I remember a man many years ago in a room, little room on the second floor in New York City said to a group, God has better things in store for you than anything you could ever imagine. And I can imagine some pretty wild things. I don't know about you. But what I couldn't imagine was serenity. I had no concept of serenity. I thought I had to have the stuff to have the serenity. Turns out the serenity has brought me stuff. You know, it's like our church here. A full house will not give us what we're hoping for. When we take on the promises of what Unity offers, they'll be beating the doors down to find us, because they're going to want what we all have. And so I'm going to ask each of you now, as individuals, are you living up to the promises that Unity offers? Are you saying yes to them all, and that you are willing to release and let go, or transform, or hand over to Spirit anything that you know is not quite in alignment with the spiritual promises we have offered? Are you now willing to become everything you can be? And it doesn't have to be hard work. Why be anything less than everything you can be? What if everything that you can be is the one that creates peace on earth, as the reading said? And all you have to do is be kind to yourself and your neighbor. And that's all it would take. And for some of us, that's too much. You know, to live prosperously, all I would have to give up is my lack. Now, I got to tell you, for some of us, we have an abundance of lack. And it's mostly in our conversations. We speak lack in one way or another all day long. But if we'd start interrupting those, would you interrupt your conversations of character assassination, of how you don't have enough, how they or he or she is bad? Would you interrupt those in order to create peace on earth? Yes. Thank you. Yay, we got one. Do I have two? Yeah, okay, so this week you're gonna start today. Lunch, man, oh my gosh. Brunch, you'll have nothing to talk about today but how wonderful Sean is. But it's not Sean, it's this message coming through Sean. But if you want to say nice things about me, I'll take them. And so, you say yes, that everyone may prosper. Now, prosperity isn't money for everyone. Prosperity is knowing your needs are met. Prosperity is knowing that your good is already here. Tell a very quick story here. I do Vipassana every so often. I do a 10-day course of silence. I'm going to do one again in September. 10 days where I sit on the floor 10 hours a day, but I don't meditate a very specific way. And then I don't talk for 10 days. And it's wonderful. This will be my fourth time doing it. But they have accommodations there that are not necessarily conducive for me or others to do this. They have indoor rooms. They also have tents outside and cabins. Rustic, very rustic cabins. And I knew the first time, because one of the agreements is you will not kill any living thing. And I thought, I cannot sleep in a tent and not kill any living thing. That's just in the middle of the woods. That's not going to happen. I know thyself. So they've always given me a room inside. But the end of the first year, That woman, the silence is broken on the Saturday. This one guy said, man, when I got here, I found out they have rooms inside. If they'd have put me inside, I'd have left. He wanted the tent. That was his prosperity. That's how he knew he was loved. They put him in a tent outside. He was so happy. I got a room inside with a private bathroom. Oh, I was so loved. I was so happy. But why be anything less than everything you can be? Why? Pay attention to how you can expand your consciousness. Shift your words. Shift your thoughts. Shift your actions. Shift to what you know to be true. To what you absolutely know to be true. Interrupt anything that you know just is not true. Interrupt it. I know it's fun. I know we get high from it. But interrupt it. And begin to see what freedom feels like. See if freedom fits well. Now, I understand everything unlike freedom may appear at first. So it's not a matter of this doesn't work. It's a matter of paying attention and keep doing it. And eventually, the fluffiness of freedom has got to appear. The comfort, the security, the assurance, as we define our faith as, the assurance and the conviction has got to appear. Let's prove we are loved by saying yes to the good that we are, the good that we have, and the good that we will always be. When I say we, I mean way beyond these doors. All beings unified. All beings unified so that you can know you did your part. I have asked Professor Leo to come and present an example. Professor Leo. To present for us today an example of how to be and discern the difference between settling for less. Professor Leo.
Yes, so today's lesson is about how to become your full potential. Do you know what that lesson is?
No, but I hope you'll tell us.
Don't be a leaf if you can be the tree. Don't be a rainbow if you can be the sea. For a leaf may fall, but the tree remains. It may never rain at all, but the sea remains. Better to be the tree and the sea.
See?
Don't be a cloud if you can be the sky. Don't be a feather, be a bird and fly. Clouds roll by, but the sky rolls on. A bird can fly with a feather gone. Bird in the sky, in the deep blue sea. Don't be anything less than everything you can be. Don't be the sail if you can be the boat. Don't be the lining if you can be the coat. You may lose a sail, but a boat will float. And a coat without a lining is still a coat. Better to be the coat and the coat.
Quote!
Don't be the stick if you can be the drum. Don't be the sugar, be the plum by gum. You can break a stick, but a drum will beat. Without sugar, folks, comes a drum to eat. Better to be the drum by the coat, boat, the bird, the sky, the tree, and the deep blue sea. Don't be anything less than everything you can be. Don't be the moo if you can be the cow. Don't be the furrow if you can be the plow. Cause you can't get milk from a moon, no way. And the furrow's in a rough, it's a plow, okay. Better to be the plow and the cow.
Wow.
Now, don't be the sting if you can be the bee. Don't be a two if you can be the three. Sting can make you a honey bun. Take two from three and you still get one. Better to be the three and the bee and the cow and the plow and the drum and the drum and the throat goes first by three and a deep blue sea. Don't be anything less than everything you can be. Don't be the string if you can be the kite. Don't be the darkness if you can be the light. For the string may fall, but the string may kite, kite. Better to be the kite and the light. Right. Don't be the tail if you can be the dog. Don't be the bump if you can be the log. You can wag his tail, but you can't wag me without a troop. Ready? Don't it be the dog and the log and the kite and the line and the tree and the bee and the pound, pound, the drum, pound, the cordial bone.